on Noster, we have maybe a couple hundred thousand users who are active, but all those users are holding their keys. And we're actually bootstrapping this censorship-resistant network. There isn't anything like that out there. Noster is the only game in town when it comes to truly like sovereign presence on the web.
What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And this is the place where we discuss open source, liberty, technology, and of course, everything Bitcoin. This episode is brought to you by Fold. I have been religiously, anybody who's been listening to the show for any length of time knows, I religiously use Fold. It is the center of my Bitcoin standard world, and it is one of the most critical tools that I have. I can do DCA right in it, and I don't have any fees because premium is 10 bucks a month. I buy enough Bitcoin and or sell enough Bitcoin moving in and out to make that more than worth it in no time at all. I do roundups. So every single time I'm purchasing something, it rounds up and buys more in Bitcoin. I get sats back on gift cards. I use gift cards like crazy. In just 2 years, I have over like 7.6 million sats, which is like $7,200 in Bitcoin, just from normal use of the Fold card. If you are not using this, you should definitely check it out. And right now for a holiday special, you can get 20,000 sats for free by using my referral link. I have had it down in the show notes and it is still down in the show notes. Check it out. If you haven't used Fold, you need to. All right, we have a really, really awesome chat today. This is with Miljan from Primal. And we talk a lot about just protocols and general networks and where we think things are going. We really sprawled into a bunch of different stuff, and including his background and what kind of led him here. Digging into the ideas of this kind of like the dumb networks and open protocols and how and why they end up evolving so much faster and catch a degree of momentum that cannot be outpaced or competed with, and how and why he thinks that Noster is that, and why he has invested all of his time and energy and building toward making Noster that reality. We also talk about a lot of the things that they have released in Primal 2.0. and tried to make a really user-friendly and really easy onboarding tool for a lot of these really cool things that we've watched develop and slowly release over time, which I've been a big fan of Primal for a while. So if you're on Noster, you're going to really love this one. If you're not on Noster, you need to be, and this is a great conversation to understand why. So with that, let's go ahead and get into our conversation with Miljan on open protocols, dumb networks, and why Noster will win. Dude, welcome to the show. Welcome to Bitcoin Audible. It feels like this has been long overdue. I've been meaning to reach out for like a while, and I feel like our conversation has kind of like strung along for a little bit trying to get you on the show. But welcome finally to Bitcoin Audible, man. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, great to be here. And yeah, it's been a long time coming. I'm super psyched to be on your show. I've been admiring your work for years now. So it's a little bit surreal here for me to be on your show. So yeah, great to be here.
Hell yeah. It only took like 30 minutes to get all the technicals working.
It's all good.
I want to start off with an easy one, but I want to get like kind of your big picture perspective. Is what got you on, like, why Noster? Why Noster for you? Like, why did we get to this place with Noster and Bitcoin as being your focus, as being like the thing that you're building on? You know, like what led you to this, to where you are right now?
Yeah, so my background is enterprise software. I've done a few startups in the past, and that's kind of my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. I tried to retire in 2017 from tried all to. That and tried to, exactly. and then I fell down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. Had to do another startup. Couldn't just like observe from the sidelines. I had to step mm-hmm. into the arena. So did a Bitcoin startup in 2018.
Out of curiosity, what was the startup?
The startup was called Rise Wallet. It was a non-custodial Bitcoin wallet. And the whole kind of angle was to help onboard people onto non-custodial or self-custodial Bitcoin using physical gift cards. So we had the system where we were kind of selling Bitcoin gift cards in physical stores where you kind of walk by the gift card rack and you see Bitcoin hanging, like a Bitcoin card hanging there. So the UX was pretty smooth where you, like a normie, could pick up the card.
Yeah, that's great.
Very kind of simple instructions, you know, download the Rise Wallet app, scan this code, and you have Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And the app would actually walk people through kind of backing up their key and the whole thing. And we got it to the point where it was, in most cases, normies were able, like 90% plus cases, we did like a lot of user testing. Mm-hmm. A civilian could walk by this card and kind of get intrigued, maybe buy $25 worth of Bitcoin and, download the app and scan the code and they would have self-custodial Bitcoin.
That's awesome. What, did it run into regulatory stuff or what was it?
Yes, of course, that was a part of it. But the bigger issue here is that we have a kind of like a system where two companies control most of the kind of gift card racks out there in retail, right? They're called Blackhawk and Income. Those two companies control hundreds of thousands of locations, right? So the plan was to obviously partner with them and to get these Bitcoin cards in front of millions of retail shoppers. Mm-hmm. And that's been an uphill battle. That was an uphill battle back in 2018, 2019 when I was trying to do this and made some progress, but it kind of, it was obvious that it was going to take years before these companies, these big companies would come around and be
walled gardens, man.
Yeah.
Walled gardens every time, man.
It was a big learning experience for me because you kind of are faced with the world as it is, as opposed to the world as we would imagine it, as we would like it to be. So you're faced with a reality, and then you have to deal with the situation as it is, right? So, adjust your product and make plans accordingly. Like I said, that was a massive learning experience for me and actually informed a lot of the decisions that later on I made in Primal. So kind of to back up and kind of fully answer your question. So after that after Rise Wallet, I spent a year or so kind of researching decentralized publishing protocols. Seemed like it would be very important. That was before Trump got deplatformed and all that stuff got really crazy. But it kind of felt like, hey, this is a space that needs some work. And in the long run, we need a censorship-resistant protocol. So I was researching this. I even designed my own protocol at some point.
Really?
And then I wasn't. Didn't go anywhere. I was kind of tinkering with it, and I ran it by a few people. Actually, I spoke with NVK. I spoke with Adele, and like we were kind of looking at it, but it was too complicated. I wasn't really happy with anything that I found, nor with my own protocol. Mm-hmm. So I kind of set it aside. And then when Noster came about, I really discovered it in December of 2022, like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I was kind of primed to understand the problem, understand the kind of the problem space, the existing solutions, the solutions that didn't work. Mm-hmm. They were too complex. They were dealing with the distributed hash tables and trying to maintain the state of the network and all of that. Noster really kind of impressed me by its simplicity. as I was reading through NIP 1, I wasn't even done reading through the whole page. It hit me that, okay, this is going to work. And this is going to also be a ton of work for us to build on top of this. Because it was fairly obvious to me at that time that we'll need to rebuild everything on top of this protocol. And that's when I right away fell down the Noster rabbit hole and decided to start building for it. So I fell down the Noster rabbit hole in December of 22. And then right away in January 2023, I put a very small team together, actually I kind of engaged one or two more guys, and we started coding in January. And Primal, like the first public preview of Primal was available 2 months later in March of 2023. We wanted to make sure that it was live before the Nostrica conference. So we literally like launched it like a couple of days before the conference.
Oh, nice. That was the browser based, right?
That's right. So there was the web app and the kind of the first iteration of our caching service, which is kind of a key part of our system. And, you know, one of the ways that Primal differentiates itself over other clients in terms of, you know, the different types of trade-offs that we are making here to accomplish our goal, which is best possible UX we can put, deliver to users. So that's the trajectory of me getting to Noster. When I discovered it in December of 2022, I started obsessing over it, and it was obvious to me that this is gonna take the next few years of my life. So I'm still super obsessed with it. 2 years later, almost 2 years later.
Yeah,
and 2 years in, we have a few Primal releases under our belt, but it really feels like we have barely started.
Yeah. Oh no, for 1,000%, like things have just started in Noster. And I think it's like one of those things, like people still think they're late to Bitcoin. And I just don't think, I think most people don't have the frame of reference for the time scales that a lot of these things happen in. But money is such a great example with Bitcoin. It's, you know, people's like, well, it's been around for 15 years as an investment. And it's like, no, dude, like every other historical monetary transition is, you measure in hundreds of years, you know? And yeah, this is going to be faster, but like protocols, not only monetary networks, but just protocols in themselves take an extremely long amount of time to mature because it's a constant, like kind of beating against the nature of the beast, and like nobody really knows what's going to work. And you talk about the protocol that, you know, you built that didn't go anywhere or whatever, like you literally have to do it wrong 90 times to get the thing that finally does work. And Noster is such a perfect example of kind of dumb networks are better, you know, like when you go back to the basics is like, just make it simple, like just make it simple because simple works. And that's really the thing that like brought a lot of attention to me as far as like what I know about networks and the history of the internet and stuff, is that it screamed at me. Okay, I think it was oh my god, I'm gonna feel really bad because I can't remember his name right now, but I had multiple conversations with a guy in over the course of 22 and 23 with TBD, who they were trying to build like a ID and like authentication thing.
Was it Daniel Buckner maybe with the DID system?
Daniel, I think that might be him. Yeah. Dan.
Okay.
We talked back and forth a number of times. I mean, just in like Twitter threads and stuff, but he kept saying that like, no, you had to have these other pieces and you had to like build this ID thing. And I was just like, but like, I'm using Noster, like, you know, like I'm using it, you know, and like, what's wrong with the one that's working right now? Like, I can't figure out what's wrong. It just needs some layers on top of it to give it this sort of interaction that people are used to, or people expect, I guess. But he insisted, and like, and I wanted to assume that like I just didn't know something, you know, like I don't want to feel like I'm not a protocol designer or whatever. But it just seemed intuitive to me. But like now I'm pretty sure TBD shut down, right?
Yeah, a little fun fact, you know, the protocol that I designed used the DID spec as a
really?
Part of the book. Yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah.
and it was too complicated. Like, not necessarily the DID spec itself, even though it's probably a bit more complicated than it needs to be, but like the protocol, the resulting protocol that had all of these pieces that were, quote, like figured out from the get-go. Mm-hmm. It was too complicated, and probably you're not going to figure everything out from the get-go.
Yeah,
that's kind of such a like almost like a overly arrogant stance. Like, oh, we'll build a cathedral perfectly.
We'll just do it all
first try. Whereas Noster is just signed notes relayed. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And if when people say, oh, you can't do this on Noster, what they're really saying is you can't do this with signed notes relayed. And
it's like, what can't you do?
Exactly. Turns out you can do a lot with signed notes relayed. And you're not making assumptions regarding how they're relayed. You know, like there's like a bunch of things that are open to for people to then experiment with. Mm-hmm. Including the stuff that Primal is experimenting with, you know, with the caching service and so forth. Mm-hmm. What's cool on Noster is that all of these projects get this massive design space to play in. Mm-hmm. And we get to actually try 1,000 different ideas on top of this very simple foundation. And then the market will decide. This will happen organically. And is happening organically. And this is extremely exciting to see all of this because, you know, like people get discouraged when they hear news like, oh, Blue Sky onboarded 5 million users. Meanwhile, Noster has only way less than that. Mm-hmm. It's like really, it's like comparing Venmo to Bitcoin. You know, mm-hmm. one is a company that is like onboarding users and the other one is a protocol that's getting bootstrapped. The fact is that on Noster, we have maybe a couple hundred thousand users who are active, but all those users are holding their keys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually bootstrapping this censorship-resistant network. There isn't anything like that out there. Noster is the only game in town when it comes to truly like sovereign presence on the web. It's taking time to bootstrap. For me, it's being bootstrapped by exactly the right people. You know, it's lots of Bitcoiners, but also some people who discovered Noster outside of Bitcoin and are here with us. You almost need that kind of intolerant minority or the core of a network like this has to be the type of community that we have now. And then it will grow from there inevitably, right? But I kind of think of it even like in terms of Bitcoin, when you look at the Bitcoin network and the user base there and how the network functions, you have, let's say, the core of the network is the intolerant minority that holds their keys and runs their own nodes. Mm-hmm. And probably we're looking at numbers that are measured in tens of thousands. So not some crazy numbers in terms of millions and so forth. And then the next cohort up is people who hold their keys but don't run their nodes.
Mm-hmm.
And here I'm pretty sure we're looking at millions of people. And then you have, you know, people who hold ETFs, people who have coins on Coinbase, like with custodians, et cetera, et cetera, which, I don't know, maybe are in the hundreds of millions. But if you look at the Bitcoin network, it's thriving using this this type of structure. It's enough to have tens of thousands of extremely high conviction people who are the core of the network. and kind of the rest is built on top of that. We're seeing similar kinds of things with Noster, I think, with in terms of people who run relays. Most Noster users currently hold their keys. You know, there have been some attempts to make custodial, products for Noster users. And there are arguments to be made that, you know, for some use cases that makes sense. This isn't appropriate for Primal, in my view, but there are some out there. So individual market participants make their own decisions, and then users do what makes sense for them. And it's all happening organically without any kind of central planning or central control. And if we were to, we as humanity, were to bootstrap a network like this, this is exactly what it would look like. What's happening with Noster right now, it's exactly what it would look like. And maybe the speed, the pace at which the network is being bootstrapped in these early years looks about right to me. I'm not impatient. Like, we, you know, do a lot of work on Primal to make it accessible to almost anyone out there, right? We make some trade-off choices to make it accessible to more people. But we're patient. We'll take some time to onboard everybody, but I have no doubt that we'll eventually get onboard everyone on Noster.
Yeah, I think a lot of people end up using Noster and not know it. Kind of not unlike how I suspect a lot of people start interacting with Bitcoin. And how a lot of people ended up working on the internet and not knowing it. Have you gotten I guess I have seen stuff like somebody posted like a chart of like the blue sky thing because of the political exodus from Twitter. But honestly, I haven't really thought about it. You know, I don't really care much what blue sky is doing. Have you or anybody else that you can think of who's building on Noster felt like that's something to be concerned about? I mean, I know you kind of gave your perspective, but I was just curious if you've seen that, just because I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, Blue Sky is just like one big server right now, right? Like it's not really much.
They talk about the protocol, but there's no such, there's no evidence at all that whatever they're doing is being adopted as a protocol. You know, they hold everybody's keys. You know, just the fact that it's...
I mean, everybody signs up with email, right?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's possible to run your own instance and, you know, hold your keys, in theory, doesn't mean that you're bootstrapping a protocol.
I mean, that's how Twitter started. I mean, look where we got. You know,
it's quite different from Noster for sure. Yeah. No, I haven't really seen other Noster devs be concerned about this. It's more like people who are adjacent or maybe participants in Noster who kind of see the news and, you know, they say, "Hey, how come we're not getting some of these users who are fleeing, let's say, from Twitter?" Mm-hmm. Or I think the previous episode had to do with Brazil and so forth. For whatever reason, these new users don't seem to the Noster apps are not popping up on their map yet. Mm-hmm. It's more kind of these types of blue sky-ish types of apps. Like I said, we're not at that stage yet where we are mainstream enough for normie users to kind of jump on it. But I think we'll get there. And I think we'll get there not necessarily because people out there care about censorship resistance or sovereignty in large numbers. Unfortunately, they don't yet. I think we'll end up onboarding everyone on Noster because we'll have better content and better apps due to the open nature of Noster. New app developers have a bigger and bigger incentive to plug into Noster instead of bootstrapping their own networks. And the fact that you can build much more than just social media apps, you can really choose any content type and create Noster events and publish them to relays, which then become available to other Noster apps. When you kind of play this out, you end up with much more powerful apps. We're kind of seeing some initial examples of this, you know, like we recently released Primal 2.0, where we added support for long form content as like a major first class citizen within Primal. So it's like a major tab. So all of the artifacts that long form content kind of apps can create on Noster are now available in Primal. And when users interact with this content, when they, let's say, highlight something, those highlights are then available not only with Primal, but in the entire Noster ecosystem. So it's just an example of something that, like, you know, a highlight artifact was, discovered or invented, you know, decades ago, probably, like on Medium and so forth. Mm-hmm. But it was always trapped in their little silo. It never really went anywhere. And even if you browse Medium now, you kind of you see these highlights, and they have the capability to have some collaboration and some comments around the highlights and stuff like that. But if you look at that content, it didn't really pick up. Whereas on Noster, all of that is open. And even with the tiny user base that we have, you can see a lot more traffic and engagement and kind of lively kind of discussions around comments already, because those users that are participating in that are coming from a bunch of different Noster apps, and they're able to collaborate because the network is so open and the content is accessible to all the apps. So when this plays out for more content types for different types of applications, I think we'll end up with some very interesting new apps that were impossible before. And then they'll bring more users, and then content creators get attracted to it, and then kind of the wheels start spinning, right? So I've no doubt that eventually everyone ends up on Noster, and by extension, everyone gets onboarded onto Bitcoin as well.
Yeah,
because Noster apps,
dude, they are married. They're built for each other, man. The apps on Noster are like where it's at.
They are, for sure. And this is something we have a lot of evidence for even right now at this early stage, where there are many people who now got onboarded onto Bitcoin using via Noster. I have no doubt that actually we'll end up onboarding more people onto Bitcoin via Noster than in all other methods combined.
I kind of think so too. Literally how I feel about it. Like, I think Noster is the way to onboard people to Bitcoin. I've 100%.
Yeah. I think we'll get to the point that's, you know, over the next few years, where apps that are not Bitcoin enabled are going to feel inadequate. They're going to feel broken.
Frustrating. Yeah, broken.
Exactly. That's the word. How come I can't zap on this app? You know, what's going on? I think we'll get there. And it might happen sooner than a lot of people think. So it's wild to be a part of this, of this kind of this process of bootstrapping this magical network.
Yeah. Man, I think people really discount how big of a deal it is for small things. Like small differences that actually, you know, over the course of like how people interact with it, having huge effects. Like the highlighting thing is such a big one, is to not have these stuck in walled gardens. Is it like that is such a huge, God, that's such a huge like differentiator for how, like, I can't believe how much of, I don't even know what the word it was. It almost like it was a relief when it, like when I'm going between Damas and Fountain and Primal. So Primal has been my main web app for a while. It was, what was the one that looked, they were headed towards like the Instagram feel? Iris. I was using Iris for a long time, then Coracle for like a hot minute, and then Primal. So Primal has been my main web app, and I haven't really played with the app itself much since launch because I'm careful with my InSec. And so the only app that I had ever put my InSec actually in was Domus. So I had Domus, Primal, and then Fountain integrated Nostr. And so like all of those things ended up becoming the same thing. I would see my boost and stuff in Domus from Fountain and then vice versa. So I was like suddenly able to keep up with something that had been separate before. And it was so crazy to kind of see it all start to kind of become the same like ecosystem. And I would like jump over to Fountain. I found myself jumping over to Fountain just to find different messages or different types of content. And then when you sent me the link to 2.0, to Primal 2.0, it was so funny because it's like it was the main thing you talk about long form that has been the differentiator. I actually just logged in with my MPUB at first. And that's like my favorite way to try stuff out is the fact that I can log in without logging in. You know, like I can just experience it from my viewpoint without actually putting in my InSec. Dude, being able to get reads, like that was the number one thing for me for years on Twitter, was the fact that I could just separate out articles. And immediately upon this has basically been the only thing I use Primal 2.0 for, is I've just been going through all of the articles and the fact that I can see them based on like, oh, it's a read. This is a Nostr, a read about Nostr. This is a read about Bitcoin. This is a read about philosophy, you know? And I was just like, oh my God, this is great, because you can immediately see how easy and intuitive it is to expand to other content, like to expand to another form of information and sharing and zapping and all of these things. And like when you break it down, you realize this literally, it like, this is just signed notes over relays. You know, like there's nothing, like this can literally be anything. And the key is that like you can prove who you are, that you can zap people, you can send money frictionlessly and without censorship and without, you know, middlemen, and that you can own it, but there is no other reason. There's nothing that limits it from being any type of data whatsoever. And it's so crazy. It's so crazy to when you like kind of see all the pieces like slowly coming together.
It's true. Like the example you gave there with Fountain is excellent. Case in point here. First of all, they've done an amazing job integrating mm-hmm. Nostr. And then you no longer need to squint to see this. Sort of like, wait, what if Spotify and Twitter and Medium and Substack and YouTube and Instagram and a bunch of other things who are basically monopolies in their space, what if they were all on the same network?
Yeah.
We're starting to see that.
Yeah.
It's wild. Yeah.
Dude, you mentioned something earlier. And this was more about protocols in general. And you were talking about the simplicity of Nostr and stuff. And you mentioned the difficulty or the headache of dealing with DHT. Can you kind of expand on that? I've been talking about it a lot now with Pear Drive, and we have been using the Pear Stack that is the key and stuff is built on, and the whole Punch platform. I don't know what you call it. And we certainly run into headaches in trying to design it. Like it's crazy because like stuff works. Like that's the really big thing, is that like we can get stuff to work. And that's what I've wanted since the beginning of dealing with files forever. But I'm curious your thoughts on DHT, the problems with peer-to-peer, because I constantly see people back and forth, and I just don't have a good footing on why to use one versus the other a lot of times. And I'm just curious your perspective on that. Like what's the difference between peer-to-peer and Nostr? Why do you think Nostr, I guess, is the better path forward, or the path of least resistance, maybe, is the way to talk? Label it.
So you see, like, the key difference there is in the ambition, the level of ambition of the core protocol. DHT based protocols, like, let's say, MPFS or I'm less familiar with hole punch and the pair stack. Like, I've used the product. Mm-hmm. Actually, it worked reasonably well for me when I used it. I was impressed that I was able to, in a peer-to-peer fashion, get on a call with someone, and it was pretty good quality. And, like, there's some good stuff in there that is impressive. So, when it comes to the ambition to keep the state of the entire network, keep enough of a state so that you can find everyone reliably in every packet and so forth, that tends to be quite challenging in practice. And that's why we tend to see these types of protocols not really work in practice. Like I said, I don't know about hole punch, and I don't have enough experience with hole punch and the pair stack, but with IPFS, it's like it doesn't work.
Yeah, IPFS has always been like a nightmare for me. It drives me crazy.
And you can tell it's exactly the same type of problem, right? Like the reason it doesn't work is because it's trying to like keep track of the network and like look up things in real time and stuff like that. So Noster, on the other hand, doesn't try to do that. And since relays are not meant to talk to each other, it's supposed to be a simple client or like a little bit of a smarter client, like posting to very simple relays, very simple servers that are relays. And that's it. So the protocol is so simple that that's all it requires. And then you can build stuff on top of it. If you want discovery, you build indexers. You know, we at Primal, we built an indexer. I think actually we are still the only open source indexer for Noster. So,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. There are other indexers, but I think they're not open source yet. To my knowledge, we're still the only ones, and I hope that there will be more. By the way, you can stand up the entire Primal stack. Our entire stack is open source under the MIT license. So anyone can stand up Primal of their own and, fork it and make changes and so forth. So there are no restrictions whatsoever there. But to answer your question, the reason why, and I think it was Fiat Jeff who said it very early on, maybe even in that first blog post that he did, he said, like, it doesn't use the DHC, therefore it works. Something like that. Anyway, I remember running into that, and it was like, damn, you're right. Actually, you have my attention, right? So, I think it's that core simplicity of the protocol. It's not trying to do everything. It's extremely simplified. And then you build layers on top. And those layers can be complex, can have any level of complexity you wish, but you're not overburdening the core protocol and everyone who needs to support it with the complexity. So that's why I think Noster works as a protocol. And that's why also it has so much adoption among developers. There are hundreds of projects, people working on Noster, building on top of it. Apps, services of all kinds. It's really glorious to see what's happening already.
It's definitely easier to get started, I guess, is probably the thing. Like, you don't have to know a lot going into it. A lot of it's very intuitive with building with it, whereas the hole punch stuff has been a significant uphill battle in figuring out how to integrate with everything because they have built so much of it. Over the, like, Math has been building itself for like a decade, you know?
Yeah.
So it's already got layers and layers and stuff on top of it. And you have to know how all of these things interact. So there's a degree of, like, I think even this is like John Carvalho and what they're doing at Synonym. I think this is why they've created PCAR and PubKey, their new thing, is because they were just like stripped out all of the complexity and just used the DHT to connect to each other. And so like even they're doing it a different way. And, you know, everybody's got their own branch, all this crap.
I spoke to him in Riga briefly at one of the dinners. And I think it was me and Paolo were chatting with him. And we just made the case, look, strip everything out. Just like plug into Noster. We already have a network that does these things.
Yeah.
He wasn't super into it. But, who knows what happens over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've gone back to the drawing board enough times with the project we're on that, if I have to do it again, I have to do it again. Like I'm done. I'm going to solve this freaking problem. I don't care. Like I'm so fed up with file transfers, and maybe it ends up just being Noster. We already had like a major part of our thing has always been Noster ID is to be able to log in with Noster and then share like your rooms with people that you want to specifically on Noster. And we always knew there's going to be like a heavy integration with it, but
nice. Are you familiar with, speaking of file storage, are you familiar with the Blossom protocol built on top of Noster?
Not in any great detail. I roughly have explored it. I've gone to the page, you know, I've been kind of like look through it. Maybe do you know more?
Yeah.
Can you expand? And
here's the good news.
That might be useful.
Here's the good news. There isn't a lot of great detail. It's also a very simple protocol.
Okay. Yeah.
And again, let's kind of define the problem a little bit here. So, of course, and this is one of the first questions that developers have about Noster. You know, like it's excellent for text. It's not really like designed to handle binary data, right?
Yeah.
So it's possible you can, you know, base64 encode stuff and send it to relays and stuff like that. That's not really what the protocol is designed for. So one of the questions was, well, okay, that's great. You know, we can have these like notes that are being signed and they mean certain things. And there's quite a bit of semantics. There's a lot that can be built. But what do we do with binary data? How do we store that in an access in a decentralized manner. And we really didn't have a good answer to that until this Blossom protocol proposal, which is already being implemented by many apps, where it's basically relying on the fact that we now have Noster. And we have this social graph or kind of like the global user directory, you can put it this way. So a user can say in your user profile, you can sign a message actually that says, I'm storing my binary files on these three servers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Blossom servers, what they do is they hash all the files that get uploaded. So you basically access each file by its hash, and this is nothing new. You know, IPFS does this, and it's like a good way to to refer to content, right? That way, you know, if you ask a Blossom server for a specific file by hash, you as a client can verify it that that's the correct file that you got, right? So Blossom servers store files and make them accessible via hashes. And then each user can say, can sign an event signal into the network regarding where their files are. So let's say you are posting your binary content on Primal, on Primal's Blossom server, which we're in the process of building. And let's say we ban you from Primal. And make all the binary content you uploaded to Primal inaccessible. All you need to do is publish a new Noster event saying, actually, all my binary files are here on this other Blossom server. And Blossom capable clients will know how to interpret that message and will be able to still access all the same files using the same hashes. And none of the clients out there will be like the users won't even know that there was an attempt to censor you because like you can just like signal to the network, hey, my stuff is over here.
So it's kind of like updating your Lightning address. Is that like the user doesn't know? It's not like you're not like publishing like a post and says, "Hey guys, this is now how you find me." It's literally the Blossom protocol, like reads and updates the location, and then like when you're just interacting with it, it still works even though you've moved everything.
And you can have a list of Blossom servers, so the clients that are smart enough can try the first one, and if it's not there, try the second one, and so forth. And this all works quite nicely. And it's a stupid, simple way of handling this, which is so in line with the Noster philosophy. It's stupid, simple, and it works. So I'm quite excited about this.
Yeah. If we don't make it to the finish line, we'll probably look at Blossom. I've reached the point where it's just like, I don't care. I'm getting this thing. I'm going to solve this stupid problem. I'm going to build this stupid app. Cause like it's so needed. It is so needed. And like for a million different reasons. And I want to be able to, and you know, maybe we should have just leaned that much more into Noster. I don't know. We'll see. I'll keep you updated. I'll definitely want your feedback.
I have a lot of respect for everyone who builds Freedom Tech. We may disagree on the approaches, and you know, we may say, oh, okay, TBD is using to DID specs, they're too complex and stuff like that. Still, they're trying to solve the same types of problems for the same types of reasons that we work on this stuff. Similar thing can be said probably for Hole Punch and the other stack. I don't really view them as kind of competing stacks as much. And like I said, like I have a lot of respect for everyone who builds those things, because these are hard problems, and we're not going to know what works best unless we try all of these things.
I was about to say, we have to see how everything behaves in practice, and like what the complications are, you know, because it, you know, from a distance it can look like, oh yeah, we'll just do this, or this is how you build with it, and then you actually get into the weeds of it and you're like, oh well, there is definitely this problem and this thing that I haven't thought of. You know, there's only so much you can predict before you're actually, you know, in the battle, so to speak.
100% impossible to predict what you're gonna run into.
And I could not be more agnostic. I literally don't care. I just want it to work.
Same.
As long as it's on the internet, I guess. That's the only thing. I want to talk a little bit about Primal more specifically, though, because one of the things that has gotten me, that seems like a clear, like a no-brainer on like moving things to the next phase, I guess, is probably the way to put it, is the chronology of the feed. Is like when I'm using, like I'll check on Domus or whatever pretty regularly, and you know, I'll scroll through like 200 posts or something like that, and I'm like trying to get an update on everybody I'm hanging out with up there, and then I come back an hour later and I scroll through 50 posts, and then boom, there's that one that I saw at the beginning of the last time I was there. And then I know if I just scroll forever, it's just going to be stuff I've seen. And pretty much my general, outside of like Primal's like latest or popular, you know, like the big posts on the web app, it would basically become like a barrier. That would just be kind of like where I stopped. And then I would just wait and come back later, because there's not really an alternative view. Like I'm just looking at my feed in chronological order. So I'm constantly seeing stuff that I've already seen. And you guys have a really interesting thing that you've done in 2.0 specifically, of just like different feeds. And one of the things that I just thought was really cool, like I had always thought like, okay, yeah, the relays could just make different feeds and different views, just kind of like the popular bar in the web app. But allowing other people to make feeds, to make custom setups or search terms or whatever, that I thought was, okay, that's a really cool extension of this that isn't totally obvious, like at the outset. And I'm curious your thinking on that, and like how you see curation as in what it seems to me a marketplace, and like how you're thinking about that, because I go to the feed list and there's like free, which, you know, has a very clear indication that like also there are some you'll be able to pay for. And so I expand on that. I'm really curious your big picture view of where that's headed.
So to me, this is one of the most exciting aspects of Noster currently. The fact that on Noster, we already have an open feed marketplace. And this isn't something that we invented. We weren't even the kind of early movers on this, the Primal team. It was Pablo who invented the whole DVM, the data vending machine idea, mm-hmm. a year plus ago. And it's quite versatile. You can do all kinds of things with DVMs, including create custom feeds.
Well, everybody knows Pablo doesn't really do much of anything. He's like, nobody likes Pablo. He's a slacker.
Yeah. Hardly has any ideas.
Right?
So he came up with this thing. We all saw the potential, but, you know, you get busy, you get kind of, it didn't pick up immediately. Some people created some test DVMs to see that it works, but this is still a largely unexplored space. There's so much potential in DVMs in general. But a subset of this is using DVMs to create custom feeds where the DVM creator just needs to send a bunch of node addresses, right? That's it. Node IDs, that's all. How you come up with that list, it's up to you as the kind mm-hmm. of feed creator, right? So there is a standard now on Noster that anyone can publish a special event saying, hey, I have a feed, a DVM-based feed, and here's how you access it. And this feed becomes visible in the feed marketplace. So clients like Amethyst and NoStrudel and maybe some others that I'm not even aware of, because there are hundreds of them, implemented this a few months ago. And that was so obvious that this is, to me anyway, that this was going to be massive. So at Primal, we wanted to really lean into it. So we're doing three things related to this kind of feed marketplace idea. Number one, we re-architected the app user interface for all of our apps, Android, iOS, and web, where the app shell allows you to manage any number of feeds. You can have infinite feeds there. You can add new feeds, reorder them, and so forth. So every major tab, like home tab or reads tab, gives you this ability to kind of just switch between any number of feeds. Mm-hmm. And then we'll allow you to browse the feed marketplace to select the feeds that you want to see on this list. And then you can set any one of them as your default feed. We literally kind of open the first feed when you open the app. So you can have like non-primal feeds be your main view into Noster on Primal. And then since at Primal, we build apps, but we also run services. We run the caching mm-hmm. service and the indexing service and so forth. So we also build feeds. So we decided to make every feed that we build is accessible by other Noster clients in the same feed marketplace. So this is completely open now. We now have users who are not even using Primal apps. They're using our feeds on Amethyst or NoStrudel. Pablo and I were at dinner one night and we were about to give a presentation the next day about, these types of things. And we went back to the hotel room to work on our slides, and we realized that during dinner, NoStrudel got better because somebody created a custom feed. And our slides from the previous day were already out of date because and the developer of NoStrudel Hazard was with us at dinner. So we were all hanging out and his app got better because of the how open this ecosystem is already. And we're just starting.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how crazy this is going to get. You're going to get all kinds of algorithmic feeds. you're going to get human curated feeds. Like, I think curation is extremely interesting. People will be able to monetize these feeds as well. We have Primal Premium now, which we launched with Primal 2.0 a few days ago. So every feed that we've published so far is a free feed, but we can envision kind of creating some custom feeds that are maybe compute intensive or whatnot that are available only to premium users. So again, mm-hmm. within there's this capability to do this. The protocol allows you to do this. And of course, people are going to do it. So I think what happens here is, first of all, we get a high degree of user agency, which is mm-hmm. a common theme on Oster, first starting with holding your keys. But then, you know, it's not that we don't want algorithms. We do want algorithms. We just want algorithms that work for us and not for someone, not against us.
Yeah.
Right. And we get to decide which algorithms are suitable to us on Oster. I think that this whole notion is going to explode in terms of usage and the kind of the wide variety of feeds that we're going to see. And it becomes a rallying point, I think, for Oster, because it's mm-hmm. such a simple concept to explain. It's like, you understand it in two words, feed marketplace.
Yeah.
Only Oster has one. There's mm-hmm. no feed marketplace on Twitter. Blue Sky, apparently, like, supposedly an open protocol. Where is your feed marketplace?
Yeah.
It becomes a very simple message, simple and powerful message that really underscores the power of Oster. Which, mm-hmm. In my mind, the biggest power of Oster is not necessarily censorship resistance. It is the openness of the network that makes it so powerful.
Yeah, 100%. There's, you know, it's interesting too that, like, when you think about the internet, man, and like all the different websites and services and subscriptions and all this stuff. Like, so much of it is just recreating or trying to curate things in a special way and then trapping it behind a walled garden. And like, so many of them are completely redundant. Like, they're not even needed, you know? And it's crazy to me that like the feed marketplace, like, so like, just thinking about, like, you mentioned like the algorithm, right? It is, and I wrote an article like a year ago, I guess, talking about like, we shouldn't be afraid of the algorithm. Like it's a misunderstanding to think that like we're being controlled by an algorithm. Is that like, that's not, and I love that, you know, it's just referred to as feeds, because like, if you called it like algorithm marketplace, people are like, what is going to control me? It's like, no, dude, like this is just about how you organize information. That's all it is. It's just a filtering structure, essentially.
It also rhymes with reads, so we like to say it rhymes with reads.
There you go. it also, like, it boils down, or it simplifies the concept of like kind of what data is and like how to interact with it, you know, without over like branding everything. I don't know, it seems like a microcosm of like what I was doing with my show or whatever is I was trying to put everything in its own brand and give it its own feed and all of these different things. And I was like, no, I should have just figured out how, like, there's no reason to make a new product or a new tool or a new thing. Like, this, like, Oster is already those things. It's already the different feeds and the different, all the information we need. We just need to see it. Like, you don't need, you know, 100 different payment apps. You don't need 100 different websites for different types of content or whatever. It's like, you just need to look at the same thing differently. And being able to have that open ecosystem. It's funny, I didn't even know. Everybody tells me I need to try Amethyst and use Amethyst a lot. A bunch of people rave about it. And I didn't even realize they had feeds and things already. But that's like one of the coolest things is that you just plugged into this. You know, you didn't have to go get a bunch of people to be like, make feeds. you know, and be a part of our marketplace. It's like, it's an open marketplace, and now it's just available inside of Primal. Just like I was looking at comments and zaps and stuff, and then suddenly there it was inside of Fountain, and vice versa. I would see people posting like comments on Fountain. Like I was just seeing it in Damas and in Primal or whatever randomly. And then I realized it's like, oh no, these aren't response. I get notifications and I'd be like, oh, these aren't responses to my post. This is a response to my podcast. This is underneath my podcast episode, you know, like, oh shit. You know, like that, they were just so, it's that, God, that open ecosystem is such a huge deal. And like to benefit, I don't want to take everything back to Bitcoin, but everything goes back to Bitcoin. Is like when you make something that makes the Bitcoin ecosystem better, it makes you as well as everyone else more valuable. It is the essence of being able to benefit from other people's progress, that you are in this natural incentive, in this natural structure of cooperating as opposed to competing. And Nostr feels the same way. Is that like Fountain got to tap into a giant user base that they didn't have to fight with. They didn't have to build their network effect for it. And the same thing with Primal is that you got to plug in to all of these feeds that other people are making and these DVMs and these marketplace. And so when someone else creates a way, like maybe somebody's got a really great way or a really great interface to make it so that it's obvious and easy to build a bunch of really great feeds, or somebody comes up with a little AI trick to like organize stuff phenomenally well, Primal benefits from that. Everybody who's been building on Nostr will immediately get the benefit of that. And there's no reason to hate that person. You love that person for making it better because you make it better for everyone at the exact same time. And that's the thing that gets me, is that I don't see how you compete against that. Like, I don't care what your timeline is. You know, I don't care if you got 3 million people on Blue Sky in like 4 weeks. How do you compete with the fact that everybody who is building on Nostr is building with each other when essentially every other platform is at competition? They're fighting.
There's no way to compete with an open network like that. So, it's like, it's exactly what you said, you know, everyone else's actions, whatever everyone else builds adds value to the whole ecosystem. That's extremely hard to compete with in the long run, from a closed ecosystem. We've seen this many times. Like, there's only one way this ends.
aside from, premium, which I have a premium on Damas, and I'll probably get premium on Primal just to experience and probably get the and maybe y'all have a custodial Lightning wallet now, right? How do y'all do that actually? How do you build your Lightning stuff? Do y'all have like a particular SDK? You build your own stuff? Like,
no. So we partner with Strike, and we're using their I think they call it Strike Black. So basically, it's a service that they offer to businesses. So we basically use their Lightning infrastructure and all of that to host Primal wallets. So they've been amazing to work with. Very proud of that partnership. So to back up a little bit, back a year and a half ago, it was obvious that we needed great UX that's built into the app for people to participate in the zapping economy and just like bring kind of the monetary network into the app itself. Mm-hmm. I was looking at different ways we could do this. I had my experience with a self-custodial solution previously. Given the target audience where we wanted to make sure that anyone can just sign up and use this, also given the success of products like Wallet of Satoshi in the marketplace, even among Bitcoiners, the market was giving a very clear signal regarding for these types of casual wallets, where we're dealing with like very small amounts, that they prefer convenience over self-sovereignty over these small amounts. So
maybe I was using it. And I haven't, yeah, I mean, even had much reason to, but like, you know, if it's like $50, it's like, who can, like, just, yeah, just use the one that
like many hardcore Bitcoiners use Primal Wallet as their daily driver now. And for the same reason, it's just simple. It works. It does on-chain, it does Lightning. It just works. Right. Like, and then we have all this Nostr integration where it's easy to look someone up, send them a payment. And then all your Zaps are also integrated with it. So like, it's kind of weird to look at your feed through the wallet. That's kind of why we made the wallet the center kind of piece of the whole app, is that big Lightning bolt, you know, where you open the wallet and you can look at, you know, your Zaps going in and out, but you can select any one of those transactions and then see right there which note was Zapped, and then you can click on it and go into that thread and so forth. It's kind of like interesting to look at your really social media feed as kind of a list of wallet
through your Sats lens.
Yeah, exactly. The Sats going in and out. So it was obvious at the time. So basically, we're looking at like a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit more, that it would have been too big of a burden for new users, especially those who are not into Bitcoin, to manage their Lightning channels and manage kind of self-custodial Lightning within Primal. It was just inappropriate for our use case. Of course, it has some drawbacks, which is now we're custodying people's money, which is not something that we're super, you know, keen to do as Bitcoiners, but like to offer this type of UX, it was necessary. Of course, we need to do this in a, you know, a legal way that's not going to make us shut down the product, you know, a few months later. So Strike is legally, you know, it's a legal custodian here, and they have the right to do this. And so we are kind of using their services for this. But we made the decision to like cap the wallet balance. So you can't have more than 1 million sats in the Primal wallet, which of course you shouldn't anyway. So this is kind of where we're enforcing this, and which there's another unfortunate requirement here, which is like we need to do KYC Lite to enable these wallets in order to be able to offer this service over the long run. But since we have this cap, we were able to minimize the amount of data we collect on people. So it's like first name, last name, email, country, and date of birth is what you need to see. It kind of fits in one page. We don't love it, but it's required for a service like this to exist over the long haul. And then the benefit is it's like frictionless onboarding. And then for new users, they get onboarded and they're part of the Zapping economy right there. And we've had cases, actually. Jack Mullers talked about it on stage with me at one point. He told the story of how his best friend's girlfriend got orange peeled through Primal, even though he was trying to orange peel her for years. She didn't care. She was like not interested in, you know, protecting against inflation, all the type of stuff that we Bitcoiners care about a lot. Like, think about how resilient this person must have been to withstand constant
years of filling. Jack Mallers.
Exactly. Right? Nothing. None of that worked for her.
Yeah.
But she downloaded Primal at one point and posted something on Nostr. And apparently it was a personal story, like something health related. And then she got a bunch of Zaps.
Yeah.
And her brain just exploded. She was like, okay, I understand everything now. I get it.
I get it. It makes sense.
And she went ahead and read the Bitcoin standard and went down the rabbit hole, the whole thing.
Oh my God.
So how about that?
Down the rabbit hole.
So I think there are a lot of people out there like that who were just like not, you know, connecting with the way we, you know, the Bitcoiners have been presenting this for whatever reason. Probably the majority of the people out there, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so bullish on the idea that everyone gets onboarded onto Bitcoin just using mobile apps that they use anyway, every day, like social media apps, long form apps, video you know, consumption apps and so forth, they will all have Bitcoin integration. We'll make sure of that, because if they don't, they'll look inferior. It's just game theory of Bitcoin playing out again through Noster. It's beautiful, man. And then everyone gets onboarded like that. And I think it looks like that might be the way the majority gets onboarded.
Yeah. No, I think so. It lends us back to what we were talking about earlier, is that Noster is the, I think, will be the big funnel into Bitcoin. My sister-in-law actually had a really similar experience. Like, and she didn't even have like a problem. Like, she wasn't like anti-Bitcoin or anything. In fact, I gave her some Bitcoin like years ago as like you just need this in your savings account. And she's always kept it very safe, and she knows where keys are and all, or Trezor and all that good stuff are. But she didn't really do anything with it. And she was like at arm's length, you know, she didn't read about Bitcoin or anything like that. And then I got her on Noster, a couple months ago, maybe 2 months. It's funny. She doesn't really post up, but she goes over there and she lurks a lot, and she reads and looks at stuff, but she doesn't really like anything, and she doesn't really post. She's like a little bit nervous about it. She's like, what do I post up here? And I'm like, I don't know anything. Just post, man. But she just like posted like, hey, checking out Noster. I told her to post running Noster to nod at Hal Finney. And she's like, okay. She just did like a random, like, you know, I'm here, I'm checking it out. And she ended up getting like $8. Or like $10 or something like that in Zaps, because I was like, we're going to get you a Lightning address. Don't worry. You're like, you're going to do that. And she kept messaging me for 2 days. She was still getting like little Zaps in. She's like, these people are crazy. They just keep sending me money. It's like real money.
It's unbelievable.
And I was like, no, it's awesome, man. You're like, this is why you need to be here.
She posted something and she got zapped by a bunch of strangers, and now she can buy breakfast with that. Yeah. How crazy is that?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. It's crazy. It's almost like, at the same time that it's crazy, there's also a piece of me that like, isn't this what this was always supposed to be? You know, like, wasn't this always like what the internet promised? And somehow we still got all of these walls as if we're not on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, this is the internet, man. Like, isn't this how we're supposed to? This is the goal, right? You know?
Totally. Fix the 402 issue with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And now we're fixing the rest with Noster. And it's glorious, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to fix it.
Yeah. One more thing before. How are you doing on time?
I'm doing great.
Doing great. Okay. Spam. So this has always been something in all peer-to-peer networks and all decentralized and semi-decentralized networks. And as we were talking about before, which we don't have to get into detail, but you know, y'all are dealing with a bit of that right now. How do you deal with it? You know, like, Noster pushes it off. You know, Noster does not care. Think about is completely agnostic to all data. So, and I think at the protocol level that makes sense, but it leaves quite a bit of responsibility on the people building on top of it, and also risk, as I'm sure you well know. So how do you think about that, and how are you targeting and dealing with it going forward? Because we want to be able to onboard everybody, but onboarding everybody means accepting everybody's connections and everybody's posts and everybody's comments and pictures and everything, you know? So what's your strategy, at least? Like, how are you thinking about this?
Okay. So first of all, Noster, like we said, is a radically open network. Anyone can participate in it. Like, there's no barrier to entry. And you can create like millions of new accounts, millions of MPUBs or key pairs without basically any effort. So there are a few tools that we have on Noster that makes it possible to deal with these types of scenarios. First of all, of course, the Web of Trust. Mm-hmm. So as we said, Noster user directory is publicly accessible to everyone. To any Noster app has access to it. And it's not just the fact that you have a directory of public keys and their associated profile metadata. You also see connections between these entities, right? So through follow connections and also other connections, there are mute lists, there are all different types of ways to kind of connect different user accounts in a way that's visible to everyone publicly on the network. So mm-hmm. you can infer a humanity of of certain public profiles by how they're connected to other profiles that you are certain they're human. So there are all these algorithms that have been created for this, and we're using one. It's all open source, where essentially you start with a set of NPUBs that you know for sure are human because you met them, or you trust a signaling service, let's say, that verifies certain NPUBs as humans on a certain network. For example, at Primal, part of our premium offering is you get a Primal name, and that way it's easier for people to find you on the network, and we are signaling to the rest of the network that this NPUB is a Primal Premium user, and the rest of the network can decide what to do with it. Maybe they trust us, maybe they don't trust us, but there's some signaling that goes on. So you kind of get your core set of identities using these techniques, and then from there you can see which other accounts those supposedly human accounts are following. And then it gets a little bit more complicated than that because, a human can follow a million bots. You need a system to kind of de-rank them and kind of filter the bots out. But all of these are relatively easy problems that have been solved decades ago. This whole Web of Trust approach works quite well, actually, on Noster. The only problem is, so you can kind of filter out, let's say, content that's not within the Web of Trust fairly easily. The problem there is that new users who just created their accounts and don't have any, they're not verified on Primal or any other, let's say, a verification service, and are not being followed yet by all kinds of real humans. For them, you need a way to allow them to participate in the network and see their replies and so forth, and accept their media content that's being uploaded. So that's where the problem becomes a little bit more challenging. So we're kind of developing some techniques to deal with this, but I can't say that we've fully solved it at Primal. But again, it's an open problem that a bunch of Noster developers are working on, and we all are can benefit from each other's work.
That's another great example is when somebody figures out like a good solution, is that it will be available to everybody. Yeah,
that's right. So and even at this point where for certain types of actions maybe wait before you show someone's reply. We had this problem on Noster with the reply guy a few months ago. You probably remember, right? Yeah. This guy was creating millions of NPUBs, putting in replies everywhere, and various services were dealing with this in different ways. And by the way, like he was hammering all the relays with all this like nonsense spam. And when the relays are being hammered, the indexing services are being hammered 100 times more, really, because we need to index all of this. So anyway, having this public web of trust already like helps us solve like a subset of this problem quite effectively without requiring KYCing everyone and like actual verifying someone's identity. So that's super important because we don't want to go the route of X and others, which appear to be on the path to actually want to KYC everyone. So you can participate in Oster as a full like first class citizen without being KYC. You just, you know, create your profile. And then if you get verified by a verification service, you know, you pay a few sats. To the extent that the rest of the network trusts that service, and it's up to network participants to decide if they want to, right from the get-go, you even can, like with a few sats, become a part of the web of trust and then participate in all of this. So that's the kind of the state of the art currently, and I'm sure it's going to improve moving forward.
Yeah. You know, there's something, maybe this is so you're talking about like when you do Primal Premium, you get like, it's the NIPO 5 verification, right?
Yes, we call it Primal Name. So you get the NIPO 5 Noster address, Noster verified address. You also get the friendly Lightning address. So, then you get the kind of friendly URL on our web app. So people can go to primal.net/GuySwan to find you instead of having to know your MPUB and so forth. So you get three of these things. When you get Primal Name, you get these three things.
Gotcha. So one of the things that I had been thinking about, and I'm sure I probably heard this from a developer or somebody or Pablo or you talking about it on Noster, who knows? It doesn't seem like a totally new idea, but I also like it because from the context of building networks, there's like this like element of exclusivity without being exclusive, is having kind of like a sub key invite code where from my key, I can generate this person is in my web of trust, even though they have no followers, no anything. And it's like a single use signature. And so like I could give it to my sister-in-law, and then when she comes up, like it would be something that Primal Fountain, everybody already recognizes, is be like, oh, this person was quote unquote verified by Guy. Guy is in my web of trust. Therefore, I can extend a secondary degree of trust to this person. And then it's also something where like 20 other people can't like get that invite code and then use it because it ends up being attached to one key. So I have to generate them, and it creates this, I become the verifier of who is human for anybody that I invite on. And then if I just start willy-nilly giving them out to everybody and, you know, people spam this, like, well, then God, we're just not going to knock guys' invites down on the list of, like, we should not pay very close attention to it. He's kind of a jackass.
You can accomplish exactly the same thing by just simply following them.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, it's probably too much.
If you have one or two kind of real humans following a new NPUB, then they slowly start to enter the web of trust. But if one of those humans ends up following a million NPUBs, which are, you know, low signal, then that human loses their kind of verification privileges or whatever. So that's like a new account.
That's a good point.
Who doesn't want to pay for a verification service? Once their content's seen right away, as long as they're followed by like a handful, maybe two or three people who are in the web of trust, that should get them on the radar.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it's probably just a overcomplicated way to do something you can already really do easily.
Could be something that I'm missing here, but yeah, from what I think about it, I don't see why you would need more than just these follow.
It could be cool to have a link to do that maybe not, but I'm thinking like to do that automatically as like kind of a tool to onboard somebody.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
To package it so that I don't have to do like an extra step, you know?
That's a great idea, actually. I like it because basically what we can do is By the way, a lot more work needs to be done in this, like, onboarding UX for new users. So let's say one thing we have going for us in Noster is that the user base that we have is extremely passionate. Like, it's actually such an amazing community to build for, because they're super passionate and they're extremely knowledgeable, and most of them are very technically kind of savvy. So, you know, when we get bug reports, like, they're quite detailed and they help us pinpoint things, and it's kind of wild, like, building for this. But anyway, one of the things we have going for us is that we have a passionate user base who want to onboard more people. So creating that UX where an existing Nostrich can easily create these kind of invites for their, you know, friends and family. And, you know, from Primal, we could probably do it in a way where you could include a few sats.
I was about to say, you could do it with an eCash token and exactly. Like a redemption token, and they don't even have to see it or anything. They just be totally. Like, hey, listen, I'm going to get you 1,000 sats and you can sign up and you'll be in my web of trust. Like, you get all these perks, man. Just use my link.
And you get some money there too. So you can zap somebody and, like, you know, see how wild that is. So yeah, all of this is just like stuff that needs to be built out. Like, and and it will be. And if you look at the trajectory of improvement of Noster apps, you know, a couple of years ago, they were unusable. A year prior to that, you had to build
it
your
really
own
was,
client.
Man. Yeah. It was a struggle bus, like, not that long ago.
But now we have things like feed marketplaces and, like, pretty powerful search, actually, now that we actually shipped with Primal 2.0, that I think objectively is better than Twitter search or any of the other kind of social networks out there.
Dude, search on social sucks, man. It sucks so bad. Like, that's a huge thing I've felt like that is, like, a really good differentiator that Primal, that Noster in general, Noster clients could do really well. I've basically used the search like twice in the Primal app. So I don't really have much to attest to it, but the stack that it's open and that you can pull all of this data, like, it intuitively screams to me, this could be better than any other search. And it doesn't care about chronology. You know, it just, if the data's there, the data's there. Whereas Google is incessant on trying to tell me what it thinks I want rather than what I'm looking for. Twitter endlessly wants to just put the latest thing in front of me and doesn't care that I'm looking for something from 2 years ago. And just, God, it drives me crazy. I was looking for something just the other day, and I swear to God, I spent like 30 minutes and I just could not find it anywhere. And it was so, it should have been so easy to search for, you know?
The difference is that, like, Google and Twitter don't work for you.
No. No, not at all.
Whereas, you know, like Primal, our way to monetize is through our paid premium subscriptions. That means our users are our customers. We don't monetize user data. We don't show advertising. So we're incentivized to make the product as good as it can be for our users. We wake up every morning and work for our users. The incentives are aligned correctly here. So let's see what happens.
All right. Well, dude, thank you for coming on the show. I'm actually curious, like, what's your, I guess, what's next? Like, what's your plan forward with Primal specifically? Are you just taking a break right now? Are you going back? Are you sitting outside in the sun and enjoying it and getting a moment to breathe, or are y'all still deep in it? Like, where are y'all at right now?
That's what I'm going to do right after this call. I'm going to go out and touch grass a little bit. Still nice. Kind of catching up on sleep after the 2.0 release. It's been a long grind. It's been many months that we've been kind of working around the clock for this. But, like, we're all obsessed with this type of stuff. When you see all of these opportunities to build this type of stuff, you can't help but obsess over it. You want to kind of see them exist, right? So that's been the main driver for me and the whole team. And we had a big milestone like a few days ago when we shipped 2.0. Now we're kind of working on our roadmap, looking at what's next. There's a lot. There's literally everything to build. but we, we'll probably spend like a few weeks, tightening the product even more. We'd just like Primal to be fast, reliable, and beautiful, right? Like, so things mm-hmm. that are there mm-hmm. need to always kind of work as expected. And I must say, the bar is set pretty high when it comes to those things by the legacy players who've been at it for mm-hmm. years and have multi-billion dollar budgets. So a lot of times there's 1,000 simple things that need to be done perfectly for these apps to just feel right. And when they're not done perfectly, you see it right away. Mm-hmm. And so there's still a lot of that. So we intend to kind of take it all the way in terms of polish, where, it would be nice to reach Instagram level of polish on Primal, right? So that's kind of what I have in mind. And then there are many other ideas of things that we can get into and probably will get into, but just want to make the full app extremely polished and fast and reliable, and then keep expanding on the premium features as well. There's a lot that can be done there.
Yeah, sweet. In fact, on that note, technically I can do this because they can just send me a Lightning invoice, but you should make it so you can gift Primal premium.
Yeah.
I'll be getting premium and I'll just give you feedback and, all that good stuff. Just, keep chat open. But I'd also love to give it to my sister-in-law and, give it to people in the family or whatever, as I like onboard and get them integrated into all this stuff. It'd be cool to just be like, listen, here's your premium. And like, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to think about anything. It's just like, boom, you get your premium, so.
Yeah, awesome. We actually have that. I don't know if we launched that part of the system, but we already have that in our web app. In the purchase premium process, you can pick the NPub that you want to assign this to.
Oh, dude, you're way ahead of me. Okay,
but we want this UX to be perfect. So it's sort of premium should be a top level mm-hmm. menu option, and then like a few steps later, that person has premium. Or if they haven't onboarded yet, like the onboarding link will include premium.
Go through the process.
So lots of things like that, which end up being a lot of work to execute well, mm-hmm. is what's like on our list to do.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, stay in touch. Dude, thank you for joining me. This was great. Every time I have one of these conversations, I get more and more bullish on Nostra, which seems hard to believe.
Let's go. It was fun. Oh, yeah, thanks very much for having me, man.
Yeah, man. Dude, thank you, man. It's been a good ride.
Same.
Later, man.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Do not forget to check out Nayan on Nostr. I will have his pub key as well as a link to Primal, so you can check out Primal 2.0. Or the web app, and obviously Primal Premium. And he mentioned that in the show. I have links and stuff to all of this if you want to explore it. And if you have not, if you have not done Nostr yet, if you have not explored it, I think this is a really, really good time to get in, because I think a lot of the tools are maturing. And as I talked about in the episode, is, that chronological feed, I think that step from having one feed in chronological order to kind of having a dynamic view of everything that's happening on Nostr and everybody you're following, I think it's going to have a meaningful difference in how you experience the protocol and the network. So it's probably a really cool time to check it out and see what they've got. Again, links to everything will be right down in the show notes. Don't forget to check out Fold. Don't forget to check out Fountain. And everybody who boosts Zaps on Nostr and boosts on Fountain and leaves me comments and stream sets, thank you guys so much. You really keep this show alive. And it's also just awesome to read all your comments in my Albi wallet while I get to scroll through and look at stuff. It's pretty baller. Lots of other good links to products and services that I really love and use all the time right there. Everything you'll be able to find in the description. And I will catch you guys on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. And until then, everybody, take it easy, guys.